technology and design so much to solve all our problems is super problematic itself. We think everything that we bring to the world is a solution to the previous problem that we had. And it's just a band-aid solution to everything. And this circle goes and goes and goes. And we really never truly fundamentally solve anything.
That was Roya Agigi, a designer whose passion is to use design to change attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors. In other words, she's tackling challenges like climate change, sustainability, and textile waste fundamentally. I'm your host, Emma Ng, and you are listening to Goody at CITR 101.9 FM, playing from the UBC Point Grey campus on unceded Musqueam territory. At Goody, we talk to the do-gooders who are using business, innovation, and creativity to create positive change in the world. Today, we will be talking to Roya Agigi, an ecocentric and multidisciplinary designer. Her application of science and design has led her to create innovative textile designs for a sustainable future. In the past, she worked on a project called EmiCo, in which she upcycled paper waste into wearable fabrics that would later be returned to the earth. She was recently invited to the Fashion Qualicum in the Netherlands, a conference that explores new definitions of luxury against the backdrop of urgent environmental and social issues, for her project, Biogarmentry. In this project, she created biodegradable living textiles that photosynthesize. So there's no doubt in my mind at all that Roya is a trailblazer in her field, and I'm super honored to meet her. I saw her grad exhibit at the Emily Carr University and was just floored, so I've been trying to get her on my show for months, and here she is, so I'm so happy to have her. So let's go way back. From what I know, you studied at the Iran University of Science and Technology in product and industrial design. And basically, what product and industrial design is designing furniture, household items, anything that you use on your regular basis. How did you get into that field?
So my story of getting into design goes back before high school, when I realized that I really like to make things. I was really good at making. I was expressing myself and my feelings, emotion, and everything else through making. And since I was a little kid, I was innovative too. I would create like different perfumes out of this or that. Like that was my hobby versus just playing with dolls or anything else. That brought me to the idea of, in the first basically year of university, that made me to get familiar with the major of industrial design, which I had no idea about it. Having that said, my brain works half science, mathematics, logic, and half art. So that brought me to this understanding that industrial design might actually be the perfect fit for me. So digging into it more, I realized that, yeah, it's half logic, half engineering, half art and creative and creation. So yeah, let's go for it. But unfortunately, in Iran, taking art major in high school is not culturally as, I would say, not valuable in that sense, but it's been not
prestigious.
Like, I don't know if there's this pre-assumption that everyone has to become doctors or engineers or else you're not really a big part of the society and so on. So having that perspective in my mind or belief in my mind, and technically not my belief, but growing up with that and that society, and also knowing that art makes me happy, some part of my life is still like all about physics and mathematics, I decided to take math in high school. So it was for sure a challenge because I was pretty good at it. All my teachers, they believed that I'm going to become a scientist or like chemist or this or that one day, but it was not making me happy. It was not something that satisfied my inner fire.
So Roya had been studying science for 3 years, and was ready to take the final nerve-biting exam to enter university as a science student. But last minute, she changed her mind.
On that year, I changed my major to art, and I had to learn everything that my competitors learned in past 3 years. So no worth of a lie, I would study 17 hours a day to be able to keep up and understand everything, you know?
So I've been in a similar situation, transferring from science to a different program and having to tell my friends and parents about that. What did your friends and parents think about your transition?
My friends were all from the other background, like physics and mathematics. So they were not really understanding of why I'm doing this. They all wanted to become engineers, doctors, business people, and so on. But my family I was lucky in that sense because my family is really open-minded. They were super supportive of whatever I wanted to do throughout my whole life. And I think that's what brought me to this happiness or joy of my life to get to this point. But that I will never forget that year of my life. It was so challenging. And having all of those said, I passed the university examination test for, I think my rate was 36 out of like dozen of people that I applied. And that opened up opportunities for me to be able to choose one of the good universities to get into. And that's how I chose IUST. And without knowing it, I think that's the beginning of my multidisciplinary practice, because industrial design is the only artsy major that that university has. Everything else is all about civil engineering, and all those crazy, you know, like big majors.
Was the program a good fit for you? And did you feel that you had finally found your place?
I would say so, not really. My mindset is all about creation and art, but at the same time, I have some sort of logic into it too. So that's how I kind of fit in there, but it was not enough because art, product design, and design in general is not really well developed in Iran. So that was one of the huge challenges. So having that said, I studied 4 years there. I became this product designer. I was active in some, as an assistant in some of the companies to, you know, develop some products for them and so on. But I was never satisfied.
So what kinds of projects were you working on?
I did a lot of like interior design, like packaging design and development design, like, you know, redesigning things and so on for different companies as like a designer. But again, it was never satisfying. I always felt like something is missing. This is not who I wanted to become. This is not who I wanted to be. So going back to the time that I moved here, I became more familiar with Emily Carr University of Art and Design, and I realized that they're more conceptual in a sense, which worked better for my interest in design.
So when Roya had the opportunity to move to Vancouver, she soon found Emily Carr and decided to give it a shot.
Going through the program and everything, I realized that being only conceptual designer itself is not what I want neither. So digging more into it, I realized that I want to become this multidisciplinary designer. I want to merge different practices together in order to make an impact, because that's what my real true passion is. And I was so fortunate and lucky to be able to work under supervision of some profs such as Gillian Russell, and to be able to get a better understanding of critical design and what can design do rather than just problem solving. And that's the beginning of my current practice.
So who is Gillian Russell?
The person who inspired me so much in thinking design as a tool to change behaviors and thoughts and rethinking design as what is known as problem solving. Her practice itself is like a little different than that, but the whole concept of how to bring change in society and so on, like, you know, those are things that I learned a lot from her.
So speaking of making change, how did you get interested in addressing sustainability issues, which is the center of many of your projects?
Yes, that's true. I feel like living in this era that we trust technology and these, like, let's say design so much to solve all our problems is super problematic itself. We think everything that we bring to the world is a solution to the previous problem that we had. And it's just a band-aid solution to everything. And this circle goes and goes and goes. And we really never truly fundamentally solve anything, which I believe that design is not about problem solving. It has a lot more to offer than just solving a problem or problems. So basically, being so passionate about bringing this change to the world and making an impact got me into this field of merging different things and fundamentally changing our beliefs, values, thoughts, and behaviors, let's say, in a sense. Because you can offer anything as a solution, but as long as it's not really making an impact fundamentally in us, it won't be permanently successful, and it's going to have an expiry date, and after that you have to redo it and bring another change and so on. So I believe that we really need to make people think and be responsible of the consequences of our creatures in the world. As a designer, I believe that we have a huge, if not the most important role in making impacts and reshaping or shaping the future that we really want, because, you know, that's what we do as designers. And unfortunately, it's been kind of neglected. I don't think the world needs another beautiful chair or, you know, more smart coffee machine. Don't get me wrong, I love them. I'm guilty of having them. I enjoy beautiful aesthetics, but I don't believe that we need them anymore. We really need to make awareness. We really need to make beliefs and reshaping the world that we want. That's how I got really interested into making change to our sustainability and how can we have a really sustainable future.
So to be specific, the projects that regard sustainability in your practice have been Project EmmyCo, which is a clothing line made out of paper and is biodegradable, and BioGarmentry, which is a photosynthetic textile that you created. Can you explain BioGarmentry a little more and the inspiration behind it?
Of course. In BioGarmentry, so far it's like 2 years and a half of my life and research and working hard and hard on it, like, you know, you need to say that. So inspiration of BioGarmentry comes from my own personal experience of air pollution in Tehran, my city, that it gets to its hazardous level so many times that you can't even feel air pollution particles into your throat and you can't even get out of your home. It always got me thinking about what can we do to lower our own harm to the environment without needing to do something super specific about it. On the other side of the story, coming from a family that my mom was a fashion designer, I was always exposed to textiles and fashion. And I realized that fashion industry taking over the to-go-away culture, the fast fashion and all these things are having a huge negative impact in our environment. So by now there are over like 18 tons of textiles that are simply being thrown away into the landfill without even us knowing or being aware of it. Textile has become this unconscious thing in our life that we just put it on. We don't even notice that it's on our body for the rest of the day and go on and go on and go on. So all my practice in BioGarmentry was how can we bring this agency back to textiles? So BioGarmentry is designed to address all the negative impacts of human behaviors and our pre-assumptions around textiles, and also hoping to shift some of those behaviors.
I thought it was really ingenious that through BioGarmentry, you designed the product to require care as if you would care for your pet, and therefore redefined the relationship between the user and the product. And that changed attitudes and behaviors.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you think about it, if your clothes are alive, then you're less likely to just throw them into the corner of your room or into your closet or wash machine and so on. So it requires a lot of attention and work So having that said, in a long term, you're less likely to just buy so many different clothes, accumulate them, forget about them in your closet, because each one of them needs a complete different care instruction. And then in a long term, it's going to encourage people to buy less, to be able to take care of them, to keep them alive longer period of a time, because it's like exactly your plants. No matter how much you love your plants, you don't want them to die. Killing a plant is not enjoyable at all. And it's the same with our clothes.
That was Roya Agigi, a product designer who created a photosynthetic textile. And we will come back right after this break and talk a little bit more about the steps she had to take to get there, studying with researchers at UBC, and what she hopes to do after. So, see you then.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us. Tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show, Pacific Pickin' on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
All right, and welcome back to Goody. Today we are talking to Roya Agigi, a product designer who created a photosynthetic textile and actually worked with the UBC lab on that. So I'll be asking her about what it was like working with UBC researchers and what she aims to do next. So, Roya, who did you work with at UBC?
So it was a collaboration between me as a designer and Advanced Material Engineering Lab with Dr. Frank Koh and Dr. Adi Bahi, and also from a biologist from Botany Lab, Dr. Jay Lee and Dr. Sanju Lee. So all in all, it was a tough collaboration, but it made it to become a part of reality. So, you know, I really appreciate it and I'm always grateful of their help.
How did you find them?
It was just basically approaching people and expanding from my design world itself was another challenge. And it took me 6 months to be able to find the right person through asking around and talking to different people that I thought they're helpful. And finally, one of the people that I knew introduced me to Dr. Frank Koh. And from there, we started gathering all the group together.
So what was it like working with scientists as a designer?
That was for sure one of the biggest challenges that I had to overcome. First of all, this project is self-funded. So for me to be able to approach busy scientists and biologists and engineers and ask them to work with me at the first place seemed quite impossible for them. On the other side of the story, me as a designer coming up with a really crazy futuristic idea to the mindset of science was a little challenging too for them, because they, not that they didn't believe in it, but since it's really far ahead in the future, there was not a lot of belief in there. And in general, in North American culture, the emerging fields are not as common here as well. For example, in Europe, these designers and artists are simply encouraged to work with other field scientists, engineers, and so on. But here, it's not as much. So for me to be able to find my own space in their busy schedule was really, really challenging. But I really appreciate the fact that finally they accepted me and worked with me
to
make it possible.
What did you have to do to get that? Earn that trust.
Let me pass on that question. Well, it was for sure difficult. Not that they didn't want to, you know, they're busy. They're working on so many different researches at the same time as well. And me, a designer, coming to a completely like, different world for them and speaking a different language was not easy at all. But it worked out well. You know, I had some of them believing in me and believing in the idea, and I think that helped.
How did you prepare for all this scientific work? Did you study?
Before I approached them, I have studied for past 8 months about different organisms or different type of living cultures that I wanted to use. I had a generic idea. Obviously, my knowledge could not never be the same as theirs, so I had a generic idea about what can work, and then they helped me a little bit more to be able to focus on the right one.
Working with these scientists, did you ever have second thoughts about choosing design over science or engineering?
Oh, no, never.
Never?
No, I classify myself as a multidisciplinary designer, and I always want to be that. Like, I think it is the result will be stronger if we merge different fields together. You know, it's going to create a bigger impact, obviously, but I don't think I never want to be an engineer or scientist.
So I guess being holistic in your mindset is a really great way to come up with innovative ideas.
I think so, too.
So back to biogarmentry. What were the first customers or first users' response to your product?
And the reaction of people, some people are really accepting it and some aren't really, mainly because the fabric itself at this level is not completely developed. So for most people to having something living on their body was a little challenging, I would say, in a sense, for them. But on the other side, I have a lot of good feedbacks from other people, too. And especially during the Vancouver Design Week at Emily Carr, where we exhibited our grad show, our graduation projects, I had a lot of really great feedback from general public, that they necessarily don't have a lot of experience with design or, you know, these type of practices. And especially, again, here in North America, like merging these fields is not a common thing neither, but people were quite accepting and encouraging in a sense.
Do you think that biologically inspired designs such as yours will become more of a norm in the future and be a solution for a sustainable future?
I think there's a huge potential there, but I want to mention something here, that all these basically tools that I'm using, they're not for making they're not there to offer another solution to the whole thing, or it's just not one innovative material to solve all the issues around textile. My biggest focus on this, especially in this project, is to slowly change beliefs and values. So, for example, how would it be if your clothes are living like your pet? Slowly is going to change our relationship to our textiles and challenge the existing pre-assumptions around textiles. And since they're compostable, eventually it's going to help the negative impacts in the environment as well, while photosynthesizing and purifying the air too. But my main focus, I think, it's in regards changing the beliefs and behaviors.
I think you're finding the power in design through the way that design can influence behaviors, attitudes, and beliefs more so, and it's more powerful that way than even the solutions that the designs offer.
Exactly. I think we are at the era that we urgently need to care with and for things that we create and bring to the world. Design, as it's been taught in institutions, is just, again, a band-aid solution. It's called problem solving, which I think that's a fundamental that has to change. Yes, we bring different things to the world to make the future better, but at the end of the day, that can last only a certain period of time because of all the demands, because of all these things that happened. It can't really solve all the problems. So just as an example, if I, talking about bigarmentry, if I invented this textile, bring it to the world and stop caring about it and completely forgetting about it, I don't know how it's going to be used or interpreted in 10 years from now. Maybe someone else take it in a different way or a different direction that it was not initially meant to be. And that's what I mean by caring with. So as a designer, when I said like we have a huge role in impacting the society and shaping the future, that's what I mean. We really need to constantly care with what we bring to the world.
That really got me thinking and digesting information, new information. I've never really considered the significant impact design has on our psychology. So that was really interesting to hear. And because you have such a solid base of understanding of how design can change the world, what are you hoping to do next with that?
So as you were mentioning in the introduction, I attended a fashion colloquium in Netherlands. So now where I met really amazing people and a lot of opportunities opened up to me, I got this offer to be a part of a material experience lab under supervision of Dr. Elvira, which is held in Delft University. And that's where we are going to bring this idea a part of our reality.
Wow, so you moved from Iran to Vancouver, and now you're moving to the Netherlands for your Delft University residency. Do you feel that traveling has affected your life or brought anything to your life?
That's a hard question. I think, you know how you always hear people say traveling is really important, you're going to learn a lot, and it sounds very cliche, but it actually is not. By me traveling, it opened up a lot of opportunities for me to see same-minded people. It opened up a lot of opportunities for me to be able to pursue my passion and goals, which it makes me happy. You know, it makes me a better person. I learn a lot from people. I see different things, different perspectives, and eventually, if I feel like I have a mission to make a change, an impact while I'm alive. So wherever it's going to take me, I'm going to be there.
So you are definitely working towards making a positive impact. Do you have any words that you're currently living by or mottos that bring that into words?
Just dive into challenges. That's what I like to do. And that's, I think, what makes us a better and more knowledgeable person. And yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
So Roya, you're definitely out there to make some change in the world, pave a new path, but that's quite difficult. What keeps you going through all the challenges, but also highlights?
The fact that I believe in the near future, it can possibly bring some awareness to this post-consumerism society and hopefully make some impacts and influences on people.
Having passion projects that really push you through all the challenges and difficulties is just awesome. If people want to find out where these awesome projects can be seen, where can they find you?
Oh, good question. So the best way would be just checking out my website. It's royaaghighi.com. Or my Instagram, Biogarmentry, is always open. And having that said, I've got a lot of amazing feedbacks from people from all over the world through my Instagram page, Biogarmentry. And that's been so far the best way to connect to me.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by. And thank you for talking to me. I had the best time.
Thank you for having me. It's really great to be here and talk about it. Thanks.
All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that super thoughtful episode, and it's been good, so we'll see you next week.